Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, Entertaining Land Investment Talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butala.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about what's possible in your land side hustle, specifically the math.
All these shows. You didn't tell me it was going to be math class today. Yeah. I did not prepare
for
that.
There's going to be some math in this. It's not going to be math. It's just going to be, you don't have to do any math.
All right. It's good thing I have a notepad and a pen.
Listen to the good and the bad and the ugly about what's possible and what's not possible. I'll tell you, here's a hint though. It all starts with getting a mailer out.
You want to know something realistically? I loved math in school.
I know you did. Did I like math?
Yeah, did you know that about me?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. How did you know that about me?
Just, I'll tell you, Jill, you're a pilot and you have that natural, I don't think we ever sat down and said, hey, how'd you feel about math in high school? How boring would that be if we did that?
I did like math. Some of my favorite teachers were my math teachers, math and physics. I loved those. What was your favorite subject?
Math, physics. I liked home economics a lot.
Because that's where the girls were?
Ah. Oh, you know what? There's not a class that I didn't like.
I'm trying to think. You know what was one of my least favorite classes? That I did it, and I went through the whole thing, and I was even president of the club at the end. It's a French club.
Oh, you know what? I don't like languages either.
There we go. That was kind of hard.
I can get through Spanish because it was a requirement. I like it now. I like speaking it or trying to speak it.
Yeah, you're good at it.
I think I'm great at it after two beers. But
you are?
But I think I'm great at a lot of things after 2 years.
Don't ask me to speak French.
No, I can't count to 10 in French. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Herbert asks, hello all. I'm seeking information/guidance on what I should do with the first deal that I have here. I bought this lot with a very old, dilapidated, double-wide, fixed mobile home on the property that has been there for more than 30 years. According to Steve and Jill, this is normally a good thing, but I've been having troubles trying to sell it because we purchased it without having title to the mobile home, and many of the buyers calling in would like to have that, which is understandable. We purchased this lot in an attorney state and did not have any problem buying it without the title. Has anyone dealt with this kind of situation in the past? What would you say are my options?
Yes, so let's take two steps back. Herbert, you're in a great situation. There are two components to buying a mobile home on a piece of land. The land real estate deal, like we're all very used to, and then the personal property aspect of buying a mobile home, which is in most states, maybe all states, the exact same as buying a car. It has a license. You go to the DMV. It's all there. I think Texas or might be different. There's one state. In fact, it might be California. But the vast majority of states, again, if not all of them, have that DMV component. And if you're like me, you've lost a title to your car before, or you've incorrectly purchased a salvage title or an abandoned title. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on with the DMV. So hopefully, you're a member of AAA or you're there's some type of consultant that allows you to not actually walk into or call the actual DMV to get the answers to your questions, and they'll help you. They'll get it in your name. That's number one. Number two, I want everyone to listen to this. I've never been in a situation where having an old, terrible-looking mobile home on a piece of property is worse than if there was just nothing there at all.
True.
There's a septic system in place. There's probably a well in place or it's attached to some water source.
True.
There's all kinds of hidden things. And people know this. And so Herbert said flat out in between the lines here, hey, if I had title to this mobile home, it would have been sold already.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing. This is a one-hour fix for you. And so you need to make sure when you tell the story or describe it in the posting, you can say something like, hey, you know, whoever lived here, whatever they did, they figured out the water situation, they figured out the sewer situation, and whatever else utilities are probably there. There's got to be utilities somewhere. Right. So, I mean, do you agree? Is there anything bad about this?
Nope. No, seriously, nothing bad. I'm excited for him.
There are people that seek these situations out that are, you know, really, really handy and they'll get in there and dig the whole system out themselves and reconnect it and clean that thing up and either live in it or have their daughter-in-law live in it or whatever. So this is way different than selling a piece of vacant land.
It's an improved property now. Mm-hmm. It's great. I love it.
I'll also tell you this. These old mobile homes, when you have the real property, the real estate under the property, the percentages of, or the chances of selling it to somebody that's very near the property, you know, how many times, let's say, you know, this has happened to Jill and I 50 times. I could probably, well, collectively and individually, everybody's lived in a neighborhood where you drive down a street and it's like, what's going on with that house? Ever since I can remember, you know, it's been falling down. And I know somebody lives there because I heard my aunt say this or whatever, fill in the blank. So everybody's got that eye on their house. When it goes up for sale, they want to do something. It's a driving for dollars situation. Mm-hmm. Although I would never recommend driving for dollars, but we've all been drive down a street 50 times a day. And look, so that's happening with this mobile home like this too. I can guarantee there's people all wondering what's going on. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I'd put a sign in front of it. They're the people, if they live in a mobile home nearby, mm-hmm. they know what's going on with the water and the sewer or the septic or electric or all of that stuff. So they're very, very, very logical buyers for this. So Herbert, you're in a great spot. Just push your foot down on the sales gas pedal. You know, just take that. I've seen Jill, we have a set of properties that are going to be very, very profitable for us for sale. And we asked somebody to help them sell us and they didn't do it correctly. So I watched Jill last week get involved. Yeah. And how many calls did you get on that property last week? With people out there, you know, and addressing problems. There's apparently we own a gate with a cattle guard on it.
Well, here's the whole thing. It's never a problem. When someone calls me, it's not a problem. Like, isn't this great? All you gotta do is find this and get this and you're good to go. You just need to turn the situation around.
There's a well on it. We're finding all kinds of, Joe. Exactly.
Turn it around that it's a positive thing. It's never a problem. Great, somebody did that. We know there's a road. Awesome. Do you have bolt cutters? I'll buy you some. It's just that easy.
Oh, no. This is what one person said. Oh, no. We have those in our trunk.
They do.
We keep those in our trunk.
Exactly. No, thank you. We have the bolt cutters. I'm like, good for you. So you're used to this, too.
Today's topic, what's possible in your land side hustle? Let's do some math. This is the meat of the show. Here's the same old story you've heard a million times. I have a job. I don't like my job. I'm out on the internet trying to find some kind of side hustle to do, make some extra money. And it turns out I really like the idea of buying and selling land. I have a baby at home. I have a 2-year-old and a non-compliant wife. But I really want to, you know, do something well with my life.
What's a non-compliant wife?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why does that come into this? Well, you have a very compliant wife.
I know.
I hope you have hard if you have a non-compliant wife. You should hopefully have a compliant wife or semi-compliant wife.
Do you remember having a baby and a 4-year-old at home?
I do.
Did you love life at that point?
I kind of had fun, but it was a whole lot of work. That's true.
So, and then your man walks through the door and says, you know, my job kind of sucks. I'm going to do some stuff over here and I'm going to get us out of this mess.
That's good.
Jill, you are so in the minority on this.
Why? That's a good thing. I'm going to get us out of this mess. Thank you.
Every man who's listening to this, it stopped what they're doing. Oh. And they're like, okay, that should be the show. Not this side hustle. Like, how can Jill teach other women that moving forward is good? It's not backwards.
Exactly.
All right, maybe this should be... I'll do the math real fast on this so we can talk about your thing. You know what? We'll talk about it in a minute.
Okay.
Because I'm fascinated. It took me a lot of years, decades, to actually be in a relationship with somebody who wants to have financial independence. Thanks. And is pretty much willing to do whatever the hell it takes within reason to get there.
You need to have a... Then it's part of having that discussion when you meet. Now it's therapy, by the way. Hope you didn't show up for this math thing.
No, we will do the math.
Okay, do the math.
No, I want to hear your thing first.
So it's because we had discussions about what the end goal was, and we haven't wavered. And we've wavered maybe how we get there, how fast we get there, and by way of which states...
Yes, we have wavered pretty hard on it.
Yeah, and we're undoing some things too. We made some great decisions, and we made some crappy decisions. And so not business, but we're fixing them.
We moved just about as far mainland west as you can move in this country, and we are going back east a little bit.
Yeah. So anyway, I really think that, and I would think a man would be like, hey, baby, what if you came home? I said, sweetheart, I've been selling X on the side and I have $25,000 saved up in a little account here. What should we do? Wouldn't you be like,
first thing I would do is grab you in my arms and kiss you hard. That would be my absolute reaction to that.
Thank you.
I just don't think a lot of people, let's just leave women out of it. I don't think a lot of people are open to change like that. Mm. I'm talking to myself more than you.
I would think that they're afraid of the other person. Like, great, I'm already one that's doing all the meals and all the shopping and all the school runs and all the ballet. Now I got to do even more because you're going to be locked in your office doing X. That would be the only thing that I can see that someone, and also I would say this, worried about how much money is this going to cost.
Yeah, so, those are all reasonable things.
Right.
But if you trust and believe in the other person,
yeah, and trust that they do their homework and they're, you know, and they're gonna, and they can follow through.
You know what I found too, when people have spouses that are in medical school, they're happy. They could have three kids around. Doesn't matter.
The person going to school, the person staying home. Why do you think that is?
There's something about.
Really, I've never experienced
marrying a doctor, male or female. I don't care how it goes.
I've never heard of this.
Just everybody's like, okay, because they make so much money.
And then they're never around?
And they're never happy.
Wait. So the person who's in medical school, not gender specific, they're doing is upping their income and they're never around and the person gets just to do what they want?
That might be your take on it. There's some security for some reason, some financial security or something for people about medical school. And I've never met a happy doctor in my entire life.
Hmm. I have security. But anyway, we'll get back to that.
I think I do too.
Well, let's talk about the math. Back to the math.
All right, good segue. Here's some security. So you got this picture of a spouse. The other spouse has got taking care of the kids. One's a baby, whatever. You know, maybe they're in an apartment. You know, we've all been through something, some version of this. If you had never gone through this, you're the smartest person ever, or you inherited a lot of money. Yeah. And so it's like, I'm never going to dig myself out of this hole. Well, here's what's possible if you start on the side doing this. First of all, I would recommend that you don't spend any money on education, including ours or any of that. I want you to spend a ton of time and energy utilizing all the free resources you possibly can, including this podcast or other people's podcasts, to get this sorted out to the point where you can get your head wrapped around the fact that you got to buy some data or mine some data. You have to price it correctly, get a mail out, you know, choose a good county to mail it in and get some mail out. That's the whole goal here. There's no side hustle. There's no income possibility of digging yourself out of that hole if you don't get a mailer out. It's not going to happen with tax deeds. It's not going to happen with tax liens. You can make some money doing those things. But unless you have a team behind you and a tremendous decade of knowledge, that's not going to work. You need to send a mailer out, get some deal flow coming back in, and then surround yourself with a support group like on landinvestors.com or whatever, or Land Academy or Jill's Ladies. What is it called?
Land Academy Ladies.
The Land Academy Ladies now. She's got a whole crew of women that get together once a week and talk about getting to the next step or whatever's important to them.
My life show.
So you need a peer group that's ahead of it, further than, you know, it used to be when I was growing up or a young professional, the only way you could get that professionally is to be, you know, the new guy in an office, and you would learn from the older guys, and most of them are not nice, you know, especially in Detroit. Different topic. So what's possible? You send this mailer out, you've got this peer group around you, you're starting to get some deal flow, and you're sitting there saying, I don't know if this is a good deal or not. Well, if you look at 10 of them, I can almost guarantee if it's priced relatively correctly, one of them's going to be good. And if you have your person, if you're surrounding yourself with a good peer group, somebody like me or Jill or one of these people in Land Investors or on Discord now we have, is going to say, are you kidding me? This is a great deal and I'd love to fund it. So you don't need any money. Let's do this together. That is how you dig yourself out of a hole financially or whatever situation that you're in. Create a real side hustle for yourself. Get yourself associated with some people who know what they're doing. And here's the math. It's going to cost you about $500 to $700 to send out mail. that first mailer, you're going to get about five potential opportunities. Hopefully one of them, one or two of them are very viable, maybe more. Sometimes people buy 50. Just how it is.
You never know what's going to come.
Sometimes you go out fishing and you catch a ton. Sometimes you only catch one or two. Right. And so your whole goal is to get that one deal done. If you're doing everything correctly and you're not worrying about money, because you don't have any, you're worried about my money. And not even that. I'm worried about my money. So, your job is to find some great deals. We should each clear $10,000 each if it's a good deal. So now you're making, let's say you do this once a month, you're making an extra $10,000 a month. That's the math. Now you're making an extra $100, $120, $150,000 a month, sending out 1,500 to 2,000 units of mail at a time every month, doing all the hard work. All the hard work that people like me, not so much Joe, but people like me don't want to do. We just want to fund your deal, and we want to. That's why we created Land Academy. Mm-hmm. We want you to succeed so we can succeed too, maybe funding your deals. So that's the math. I can go, I can go deeply into the math piece of this. It's not too hard to go from one deal a month to two deals a month. Now you're talking about not 100 grand a year, 200 grand a year,
right.
And then one a week. Now you're talking about $500,000 to $600,000 a year. Now it's not a side hustle situation anymore.
Right.
And now your spouse,
she's on board. They are here. She's on board, by the way.
Because she sees a bank account.
Yeah.
Or he. And the kids are a little older, and now you have more time to play the kids. So I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture here. It's a heck of a lot of work. There's a lot of crying and anger. Cool. And every household's got that. So
I never know.
It just takes
crap
raw.
That Jack says, you never know what's going to come out of his mouth.
It takes raw gumption to get this done. And if you're motivated to do it, you'll get it done. That's what the word hustle is.
Thank you. Happy you could join us today.
That's it?
Yeah.
You don't have anything to say, Jill?
Oh, I do. We have a lot. We have a lot. Have you? This show. We have a lot. What do you want? What do you want to ask me? I couldn't top better what you just said. Seriously.
Oh no, you have to have something to say about this.
What? You just covered it perfectly.
All right, we're going to talk tomorrow then.
Okay. Happy you could join us 5 days a week. You can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called The Three Levels of Employees Build Your Dream Team by Jill. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
I couldn't top at all what you just said. You explained it perfectly.
We have a show coming up this next week here because it's the last week in 2021. About the whole gist of the show is, Jill doesn't know what these shows are, by the way.
No, I'm there for the inception. I'm there for the, whatever, but I'm not there for the delivery.
A whole point to this show is,
except for the recording this part.
It's not about, learning about real estate. It's like playing an instrument or playing a guitar.
Oh.
If you can run through some scales on a piano or a guitar, great. You're a musician, but what does it really take to get into that and make it so people are going to listen to you or whatever you're trying to get out of it? There's something else. It takes this inner soul drive to want to practice, or you're just into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. No different.
Yeah.
This is no different.
Same as any business, like you just said. There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we really appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please get on over to our YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button, and give my new live show some love.
And your comments and suggestions help us to create the type of content you're here for. Hitting the like button helps to support our channel's algorithm and gauge your interest for future shows.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.